Hearts excited and thankful and encouraged. Thank you to all the brothers. Thank you to the brothers that shared the prayer, Brother Mose and Brother Logan. The reminder, we are so vulnerable that, and the Word of God is so powerful that when we're reminded about His promises, it does something in our spirit. It strengthens us. Also, Lewis, thank you for the children's lesson. I was thinking we can see, we have some idea how big Goliath was. And yet David had God with him and he ran to him. And I had to think of John and the book of Revelations. When he saw Jesus Christ, what did he do? He fell on his face as if he was dead. So Christ is so much more powerful and so much greater than even Goliath. We can't even compare the two. Thank you. There's something that a live replica like that does in our heart. It may foster faith. So yeah, this morning we're grateful. Can we stand for a word of prayer? That would be a blessing. It's a worship that wells in our hearts, Father. It's thankfulness. It's privilege that you have given to each one. Goodness you've given. We're here on earth. We're at your mercy. We're dependent on you. We're looking to you to provide what we need for our souls during this spirit, by your spirit, Lord, during this service. We know we're but dust. Lord, we have nothing of ourselves. We know nothing compared to your knowledge. We have your word. We ask that you would open it to us, that you would bring understanding. Lord, that you would, may this build faith and strength in each of our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one that is here. We ask for each and every one's well-being and for each and every one's prospering in you, prospering spiritually. And Lord, would you help us to prepare for the things that are before us here on earth? Oh God, help us. In your worthy name we pray. Amen. Amen. With much help from the Lord needed, would like to bring a series of messages under the theme, The Last Days. The Word of God uses that term some, and I would like to borrow that. Before we start that, I would like to encourage us again to continue to look to the Lord. I've been thinking some of my need of God, and somehow it's not dependent on, it's not lacking with God. My need is not, it's not God that is lacking, it's me that needs to, I need to continue to surrender and let go of things that are far lesser, that so that I can have the things that have more eternal value. I think if we could put all the things that we're pouring time and effort into and investing, and we could draw out those that our investments are not eternal, and we could compare them to what God has for us if we invest eternally with Him, I think that would be a blessing. That's something I want God to do in my life. God has so much greater purpose and meaning and satisfaction when we invest in Him and His kingdom and His people and eternity. The Word of God teaches us in Psalm 37, verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So, again, can we turn our focus to God? My prayer is that this can be a faith-building series of messages. If this puts fear in the heart, then that is not my goal. That is not what I want. Even as young children, I look at them and tears will open my eyes. We often pray and we wonder, what will these young children face? But we can know that when God is with us, he will help us through all of these times. So as to the young people here, and to us parents, we are living in times that are different. And I know that we can, in the back of our mind, we can be thinking, well, something is going to happen and everything is going to go back to normal and everything is going to be the way it always was. And I'm not God, and I don't ever want to put myself in that place. But as we study other societies that have been on course, that our society is on, God has ended up ending those societies because they have never changed their course. They just continue to sin, continues to build on sin, and it just continues to get worse and worse. And so our hope is in preparing for eternity. Our hope is that we can continue to allow God to equip us and teach us about the last days. So my goal here this morning is to share an overall preamble or prelude to the series, just to share a bit of an overview. It's very incomplete, but then also go in and share the first message to the series here is titled "The Signs of the Times," and that is right out of the Word of God. And I'm just wondering, I'd like to involve you brothers as much as possible. Does it come to anyone's mind where those words, "the signs of the times," Jesus said them in the gospel? Does anyone know where he said them, Joe? No, not quite. But thank you for trying anyway. I mean, I hate to say no. Does anyone else happen to know where Jesus said those words offhand? But we'll get to them later, but it's in Matthew 16. He's talking to the scribes and Pharisees, and he's telling them that here's this weather pattern, and you can discern the weather, but you can't discern that here. I think that this is what I think Jesus is saying. He says, "Here I stand, the Son of God, and there's been all kind of prophecies given about me, and you're not discerning the time you're in. It's the time of the Son of Man, and you're not discerning it. The signs of the times, and it's more than one sign." And I just want to say that as I can remember here, my goal is not to tell you when the tribulation and when the rapture, and my goal is not to tell you when all these things are going to be. There's four main views that I've studied some, and I still want God to teach me. My goal is to take Scripture. There's Scripture in Genesis. There's Scripture in Daniel. There's Scripture in Ezekiel. There's Scripture in Jeremiah. There's Scripture in Isaiah. There's Scripture in Joel. And then you have all of the New Testament. You have the Gospels where Jesus teaches about the end times. You have the book of Revelation. You have all these Scripture. And my goal is to take all of these Scriptures and put them together so you can see what the Bible says. My goal is not to make new statements or to tell anyone how everything is going to be. I don't think I have that ability. But yet, I do have a burden. There's much that I think we as God's people need. We want God to do in our lives. And there's things we want to prepare our lives. We want to be ready for the things that are coming. And we want to understand what God is doing. So it's important to me that we allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. And I'm looking I'm depending on God and His Word and His Spirit. And you brothers, as you follow along, please keep me accountable. These things are way beyond me. And I don't want to say anything wrong. I don't want to teach anything wrong. So please stay with me and keep me accountable and speak into the things that I'm saying here. My intent is to not say anything that I can't validate by the Word of God. My goal is to allow the Word of God to speak for itself. It is true. There is much about the end times that is hard to understand. And there's things that I don't understand and I don't profess to. But may God teach us those things that we need to know. My goal is to humbly find what is in Daniel, Matthew, Revelation, Ezekiel. Those things that we need to prepare. Those things that we ought to know as we live, as we continue to make our way into these times, the last times. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 3, He said, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Jesus said this to John on the Isle of Patmos when John was given this revelation. Probably almost, someone remember when the book of Revelation was supposedly written? It was one of the last ones. I'm not sure if it was 90. Do you remember, Alan? I forgot to look at that. I had meant to. I think if I remember right, the epistle of 1 John was possibly written in 90. And so this could have been after that. Or I don't remember anyway. I don't want to say something wrong here. But another translation says, "Blessed is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy." And it says, "Heeding them and having and laying them to hear, laying them to heart, for the time, for their fulfillment is near. Behold, he comes," is a thought that came to me. May we live with that, all that possibility always in our lives. That may we be looking up, and may this thought, "Behold, he comes," be part of our lives in a way. As Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 says, Revelation, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." And this is very early in the book of Revelation. Luke tells us, men's hearts failing them for Luke 21 verse 26 through 28. "Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." I also want to mix in some encouraging scriptures here. I would like for this to build faith. Jesus also said in John 6, 47 and 48, He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life." I want to mix in some scriptures like that because I want, may God build faith in our hearts. May God guide and equip and empower every one of us to live boldly and courageously in Christ. In Christ. It's important that Christ is in us, and more importantly, that we are in Him, that He has accepted us. I believe it is important to God that we understand His message to the church and His plan for these last days. May our expectation of Jesus Christ's return grow stronger and to make us more determined than ever to live a godly life in anticipation of His soon imminent return. Even in the book of Genesis, I don't know, it's interesting that Jacob talked about the last days. I'm not sure what all last days he was seeing. But Genesis chapter 49 verse 1 says, "And Jacob called unto him his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." That's Genesis 49 verses 1 and 2. And Acts has quite a bit to say here. I'm giving some references where the Bible uses the last days. So you see where that series theme comes from. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 through 21. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke." He says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come." And then in verse 21, he says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, I think these signs are going to be signs that if we're watching, we will not miss them. I don't think the sun's going to be dark and the moon turned into blood. And I don't think there's going to be wonders in heaven and signs in the earth, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. And I don't think all of these things are going to be done behind our back if we are looking up and waiting for our redemption and alert and watching. You know, growing up, this topic was said a lot. It seemed like almost every Sunday, the ministers would mention, or they would say, that the end is here. I forget how all they said. I was thinking, I should have thought a little more before I said it this way. But they would say something about the last days are here. So we heard a lot. Again, my prayer is that God will equip us with power and courage during possibly the most difficult times of history. There are more than 150 chapters in the Bible in which the main theme is what happens in the generation of the Lord's return. Did you know that? This is... It was hard for me to believe, but it says there's 150 chapters, a fact that I found. I didn't really have a way to completely verify it, so I want to be careful. It also may surprise us to learn that the references to the second coming of Christ outnumber the references of His first coming 8-1. The fact has been given that there are 1,845 different biblical references that speak of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I'm starting to believe it because I went to one passage after the other just to prepare for this message. And it's amazing how much the Bible has to say about this subject or topic or theme, however you want to say it. In the Old Testament, at least 17 different books mention Christ's second coming. In the New Testament, 23 of the 27 books mention the second coming of Jesus Christ. So one out of every 30 verses in the New Testament teach us that Jesus Christ is coming the second time. I thought I was also interesting that Enoch, he lived in the time of the book of Genesis was written. And did you know that Enoch, thousands of years ago, predicted the second coming of Jesus Christ? Jude says, "And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers and complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." Instead of fear of what is coming, though, may the Word of God help us look for Him and prepare us to meet Him. That is something I want to continue to lay before us. Instead of fear, may it build faith in our lives. Matthew 25:13 says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Watch is to be vigilant in all areas, but especially concerning Christ's return. To watch implies to not be taken up with other things, and to watch implies to expect the enemy's approach. The need for watchfulness. I have an account here that I thought I would just share to keep you all with me, hopefully. It seems as though few words are so far-reaching as the word watch. Vigilance is the price of every good and great thing on earth and in heaven. We thought about the creatures with eyes that are on the Word of God that are watching. They're all full of eyes. Nothing but unceasing watchfulness can keep the heart in harmony with God's heart. Here's an account. It was a stormy, boisterous night. The dark clouds hung over us, and the wind came in with tenfold fury. The sea boiled in mountains, and the proud ship seemed but a toy amid these tremendous billows of waves. Far up on the mast, on the lookout, a sailor was heard to cry, "An iceberg on the starboard bow! An iceberg on the starboard bow!" the deck officer called to the helmsman. "Port the helm steadily!" And the sailors at the wheel heard and obeyed. The officers were aroused on and to watch on, for there was danger on board to the 300 precious souls, and there were icebergs all around. The captain spent a sleepless night pacing the deck. Giant icebergs were coming against the vessel, and eternal vigilance was the price of our safety in that northern sea. And so it is all through our human life. Vigilance. Watch. God wants us to watch for our own lives. He wants us to watch for the souls of our children. He wants us to care about the brotherhood. He wants us to care about the souls that are lost. I believe our enemy has many distractions. I think it's important that we understand the times in which we are living. I think it's important that we understand some of the events that will possibly happen. The more we know and the better we understand the last times, the less we will fear. May God give each of us great measures of faith in Christ. In the place of dread and fear of the things that will yet come, may we have faith. My prayer is that studying the last times will awaken urgency in us for the souls of men and also for intercession prayer. May the burden to pray, may God continue to lay that on all of our hearts. Thank you for all that you are doing and praying in that way. May we just continue to build. The prayers of God's people. We have no idea how powerful they are. I thought of these scriptures in Revelations. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a gold censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the altar before the throne. For some reason, I had always missed that. Maybe you hadn't. But here come the offer. Here come the prayers of the saints. But this angel was given a lot of incense. And this angel mixed this incense with the prayers of God's saints. Had you saw that before? Somehow I had never put that all together. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. Now incense, I looked it up, it's fragrant spices and gums which exhale perfume when burned, that he might mingle it with the prayers of all the people of God, the saints upon the golden altar before the throne. Isn't that beautiful? None of your prayers are empty or vain or useless. God hears each one. And may he give us a burden like we've never had to pray in these last times. May we purpose to live spiritual, godly lives, fascinated with Christ, and to live boldly for Christ and his glory. This is not a time to hide ourselves away. It is a time to find courage and strength in Jesus Christ. If you are listening here today and you do not have peace with God, I beseech you to surrender and repent until you find yourself in Christ. May we live every moment of the time we have left in Christ. I think it is extremely important that we live in Christ. May we be courageous and able to stand in Christ as we face the things that are coming. There can be nothing as important as to whether you are in Christ and Christ is in you. Colossians says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ within us and Christ among us. Both are seen in this scripture when we look at some of the Greek wording. It is Christ within and Christ among us as a brotherhood. We need this. God's heart is that the last times may be the church's finest hour, walking in victory, overcoming the wicked one, overcoming this world system and our flesh and its desires. May Christ be our teacher. May he continue to teach us his will and how to live in these last times. May the kingdom of Jesus Christ advance and grow brighter as the world continues to grow darker and darker. May the light of God get brighter and brighter as everything else gets darker and darker. And I think that's happening. Some of the phone calls I'm getting and some of the things that are happening, I believe this is happening. We cannot afford to respond in fear, brothers and sisters. I just want to say again, may we choose to have faith in God. It's a choice we have to make. Many will abandon Christ and faith in him during the coming last times. May none of us depart from Christ. May God use his word and these teachings to make each one of us strong, overcomers. May we walk in his power and victory during these coming last times, the last days, I should say. Again, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. Jude 1:21. I want to mix in some scriptures here. May the power of God build faith in our lives. Now, the signs of the times. I'd like to just share part of a message here. There are 40 or more different signs that I could have brought, and I didn't bring near that many. But there was scripture for every one of them, and some of them weren't quite as relevant as some. But it was an interesting study, and so I had to think of a sign, signs of the times, the signs of the times. A sign is an unusual occurrence, a mark or an indication. That which usually indicates a miraculous or at least divine or extraordinary token of an event, generally in the future. I had to think of a stop sign. What does a stop sign do? It's a sign that we should stop, right? It's speaking to us. And there are many signs of the times that we live in, and I'm just going to give you a few, and I trust that God will help us. Jesus told his disciples there would be signs that would indicate the nearness of his second coming, including tribulation, darkening of the sun and moon, falling stars, preaching of the gospel throughout the world, lawlessness, earthquakes, famines, and pestilences. Many of these signs predicted by Jesus have occurred or are currently happening, such as wars, rumors of wars, nations' distress, hoarding of riches, scoffing, and business as usual prior to destruction. These signs show that Christ's return is imminent. Though the exact time is unknown, Christians should live prepared for his imminent return. And here's the scripture that we took this title from. And Jesus says in Matthew 16:3, "And in the morning it will be fall weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times." And I truly believe that Jesus was saying, there's been prophecies of me that I will be born of a virgin, that I would be born in Bethlehem. There was all kind of prophecies. And if they were aware of those prophecies and the times they were standing in, the Son of God was standing right in front of them, and they missed the signs of the times. May we not miss him. That is a burden I have. How many were waiting for Jesus Christ when he came? How many were looking for him? I thought of Simeon in the temple, and it was Anna, the prophetess. Maybe should we stand a little bit? Y'all, I'm sure my voice is starting to get to y'all a little bit. You want to stand a little bit? Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later. But the day of the Lord, you know, we're going to talk quite a bit more about that. Probably going to be the next message. But right now, there's a lot of freedom. There's a lot we're moral creatures made with free choice. We can stand here and we can curse God, or we can go over here and we can praise God. God gives us that. But the day of the Lord is coming. And that day is going to be the Lord's day. And then things are going to start changing, and there's not going to be the Lord is going to start executing judgment. And things are going to be start putting in the place, and how can I say this? Things are going to start being put in place the way the Lord would have it in that day. You can be seated if you want. Thank you for standing. So, Joel chapter 2, just two verses here. "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thickness and thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the ears of many generations." I could go on. I think Joel goes all the way down to verse 10 or 11 there, talking about these times. I just wanted to read that scripture here. So the first sign that we have today is Jesus Christ, the apostles Paul and John, the prophets of old, all spelled out signs of the last days. But all these were predicated on Israel inhabiting the land of Israel. Everything depended on Israel being in their land. And in 70 A.D., Titus, a Roman emperor, destroyed Jerusalem and burned down the temple. And he took all the Jews that were still alive. All the Jews that were still alive were forced into slavery and exiled out of the promised land into other countries. But on May 14th, 1948, God performed a miracle in one day. And one day, God gave the Jewish people back their very own country, their very own nation, their very own land, that promised land that they had before. Israel went from being an ancient idea to an actual nation in one day, fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy. Listen to this. 2,700 years before it happened, the prophet Isaiah prophesied that a nation would be born in one day. Listen to these words, Isaiah 66, verse 8. Who has heard of such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Or shall a nation be brought forth in a moment? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she brought forth her children. 2,700 years before it happened, Isaiah talked about it. And on May 14th of 1948, Israel was given their nation back. And ever since then, the Jews have been making their way back to their homeland. I think there's like 14, is there 14 some million Jews, over 14 million Jews on earth? And the last number I had heard, there was over 6 million of them that had made Israel their home. And those numbers could be a little outdated. But then, this was an unforgettable day for the Jewish people. Those scattered around the world immediately began returning to their homeland. But the Jews returning to their homeland fulfilled yet another prophecy in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36:24 says, God says, "For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land." And Ezekiel prophesied that. And that happened. This prophecy is still being fulfilled to this day. The Jews are leaving other countries and still slowly coming to their own land. The last I heard, it was growing by at least 2% a year here and there that they were going back. The second sign, Daniel, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, he says that the time of the end will see a definite increase in knowledge. Let me turn to that scripture. I don't have it in here. Daniel 12, chapter 12, verse 4 says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." So here's a scripture in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 4. And he's told to shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. He says, money shall run to and fro. In other words, there'll be a lot of traveling going on, and we have access to that more and more. And he says, the knowledge and knowledge shall be increased. I think that's something we should think about. Knowledge shall increase in the time of the end. It's a sign. Seal the book to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. The time of the end will see a definite increase in knowledge. The 20th century has seen an enormous increase in man's knowledge because of so many scientific and technological advances. Inventions of the 20th century showing this to be true include electricity, electronics, computers, nuclear energy, space travel, satellite communications, telephone, internet, TV, jet travel, medical advances, radio and space telescopes, military technology, smart bombs, many new chemical compounds, drugs to treat most diseases, motors, cars, etc. And I think this is a sign of the times we're living in. Number three, travel shall increase. It's the same scripture here. The time of the end will see an increase in the number of people traveling to and fro around the world. With the invention of airplanes, cars, trains, and ocean liners, traveling across the world at low cost is possible for most people. These inventions are unique to the 20th century. Before 1900, very few people traveled outside their country. Number four, the world population shall greatly increase. I saw a graph of how that happened. World population shall greatly increase. The number of the army of the horsemen were 200 million. Let's just read this in Revelations. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Revelation. And let's turn to chapter 9, verse 16. And it gives that number there. It says, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. China has the ability to raise an army of 200 million soldiers. As of the year 2000, China's population is about 1.3 billion. Never before could any nation raise an army this size. But this number is given here in the book of Revelation. Number five, wars and rumors of wars shall increase. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled. The end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. These are the beginning of sorrows. Mark 13, 7 and 8. Never have there been so many wars all over the world involving so many nations. Some of the wars seen in the 20th century include World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam, Cambodia, China and Vietnam, Falklands, Ireland, Israel, and the Arab Wars of 1947, 56, 67, 73, and they're at war now, Russia, Afghanistan, Nicaragua, Iran, Iraq, the Iraq Gulf War, and it just goes on and on. The Cold War, many. Anyway, I think you get my point. It's a sign here that, and there's still war now. Number six, earthquakes shall increase. Earthquakes in divers, many places, Matthew 24:7. There was a great earthquake, such as it was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. The cities of the nations fell, the mountains were not found. Revelation 16:18-20. The year 1991 saw 15 earthquakes over 7.1. The Australian Seismic Center in Canberra records about 100 earthquakes every day. 75% of these are of magnitude 3 to 4 on the Richter scale, and about 25% are greater than magnitude 4. Yes, earthquakes have always occurred, but never so many daily worldwide, causing such great damage as in the 20th century. The seventh sign, famines. Famines shall increase, Matthew 24:7. The chief causes of famine are drought, flooding, plant disease, and war. About 800 million people are severely malnourished. Recently, we have seen famines in Africa, North Korea, where in Afghanistan. And there's much more that could be said on all of these, but I want to keep going here. The eighth point is pestilence and disease shall increase. And I want to do a little more work on this one. Many fatal epidemic diseases have killed millions of people this century. As viruses mutate into stronger varieties and are more resistant to treatment. Examples of modern disease include AIDS, 30 million cases, hepatitis, tuberculosis, malaria, polio, dysentery, sleeping sickness, Ebola, many tropical diseases, typhoid, cancer, Parkinson's, mad cow, and heart disease, COVID, and all the new viruses now floating in the air. The old world screwworm disease can consume a whole cow in 5 to 7 days, it said here, as I found. Number nine, false religions and deceivers shall increase. When Jesus was asked, "What shall be the sign of thy coming?" he replied, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." In the last days of the world, there shall be great trials and persecution of the saints of God. And I think the Word of God teaches us that there should arise at the same time false Christs and false prophets from within the church with an unparalleled power of leading and deceiving many astray. Number 10, wickedness will increase. God says, I will punish the world for their evil, Isaiah 13:11. The Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, Isaiah 26:21. After Jesus Christ has returned to the earth, the Bible says, the inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men are left. Wickedness will increase. Some of these wickedness, 14 examples of modern wickedness include witchcraft, murder of unborn babies, widespread drug addiction, violent movies, internet and magazine pornography, terrorist bombings, hostage taking, blowing up passenger planes, schoolyard massacres, school shootings. Stalin starved 30 million Ukrainians in World War II. Hitler gassing 6 million Jews in World War II. Slave camps, widespread political bribery, corruption. Yeah, I don't know that we want to hear all of this, but this also know that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, greedy for money and power is everywhere. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful to God and others for blessings, unholy, people loving sin and caring little about God, without natural affection. Abortion is against a mother's natural love for her baby, unnatural affection. Without natural affection. Truth speakers, false accusers, incontinent, lacking control, fierce, terrorist and brutal dictators, heady, given to intoxication by alcohol or drugs, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. People prefer TV, sports, vacations, entertainment rather than God, the Bible and his people. God says from these, turn away. The 11th one I have here is the European Union. Revelation 13 describes the revival of a great military power. The symbolic language that the Apostle John used about a fantastic beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, depicts a reoccurring evil political system which has greatly oppressed and heavily influenced the people in Western civilization too, and through them the entire world. And we could go on here. These 10 leaders will also fight against Christ himself at his return. But the European Union, and my thoughts for putting that in here is that is where the battle was at in our country now. I believe that in our political system, the battle is between, we are watching right before us the last number of years, the European Union is wanting control, more control of our country. And there are some here that are not wanting to give in to that, and there's some that are. But I believe, myself, I believe that is, I don't follow politics and I don't talk about politics much, but on the political scene, that is the battle. I believe they have opened the borders and allowed millions of people from prisons, people from mental institutions, people from all different walks of life into our border. And the more they bring the morale in our country down, the easier it will be for them to take control of our country. But I believe in our political, in our times, the battle of the European Union I didn't get all the facts, what year it was formed and all of that, but it's a sign of the end times. I believe the European Union, and NATO, which is the military side of all of those countries, will play a big role in the end times here in the last times. This is one that I've found that was kind of interesting. I think it's the last one I'll give here today. It's another sign. It says Jerusalem's east gate will be shut. Today, if you visit Jerusalem's east gate or Golden Gate, you will notice that it is completely bricked up so that nobody may enter it. Jesus Christ, who is the God of Israel, entered it on a donkey on his way to be crucified. The prophet Ezekiel foretold, then he brought me back the way of the gate out of the outward sanctuary which looketh toward the east, and it was shut. Then the Lord Jehovah the Father said unto me, This gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in it, in by it, because the Lord Jehovah the Son, the God of Israel, hath entered it, entered in by it, therefore it shall be shut. Now I guess I do have another one in Revelation I think we'll skip over, but the one world money system, we can see, and it talks about, to me it references it in Revelations 13, 16 to 18. And I think we're not going to read that, but we know that everything is lining up for a one world currency, another sign. 14, heavenly signs in the day of the Lord. There are dramatic celestial signs in the heavens visible to everyone on earth. Jesus says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. It seems like there's a lot of signs there that will be in heaven and earth. There's more that could be said, or more thoughts that could be shared there. But I think we'll go on. The second part of this message I have here, and I'll keep trying to move here. Jesus said in John 4:48, he said, John, the Gospel of John 4, verse 48, Jesus said unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. How is it with us? Are we discerning the signs of the times? I believe that we're in the last times. The signs of trouble are not just looming, they continue to increase. To me, it seems that since we experienced COVID, we're on a slow pace to seeing more and more of these signs if we look for them. Terror attacks, mass shootings. Most of the nation's economies around the globe stand on the brink of becoming, they're not doing well. Many of the smaller countries, it seems like there's a push to arm themselves, and they're trying to get their hands on nuclear weapons. And that's not a good sign either. It seems like the Middle East has their sights set on Israel, and they also don't like America. So I would like to leave us here today, the last part of this message, with a new expectation or a new outlook. I guess the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were before, as they were from the beginning of creation. So, my thought is, my prayer is, that starting with me and all of us, that God will help us change our thinking or how we look at the future. I think it's easy for us to make decisions thinking that everything's all going to go on the way it always has. And I think it's good if we allow God to start changing that in my life first. I didn't finish my thoughts here. Scoffers that are saying, He's not coming. Look at how long it's been. He's not coming back. And scoffing is a very hardening vice. A scorner is almost irreclaimable. Scorning is contagious and injurious. Scorners are the chief instruments of Satan, the promoters of his cause, his most zealous apostles, his most able advocates, and his most successful emissaries. So Proverbs says, Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. And I do believe this is a key to a godly home. If there's unrest and things in the home, I think we should be on the lookout for just like a scoffing spirit that is against authority or against things, and it can be a key. But anyway, can we allow God to start changing the way we look at the future and the way we make decisions? And can we allow God to I'm not sure how to leave this. Can we allow God to guide our the way? I do not believe, brothers and sisters, the world could stand another 100 years. I'm not here to preach doom and gloom, but I think it will do us all well if we start taking measures to prepare, and that we allow our decisions to be affected by the thoughts that that times are going to change. What do I have to do different? What's best for me and my family? What's best for the church? I think it's, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here on this, but my prayer is that God will start changing our reasoning, our way of, the way we look at things, the way our decisions are made, and that we would continue to believe what the Word of God says. I would just want to remind us that in Peter and Paul's writings both, I think it's easy for us to pick up from them that they were pretty sure that the Lord was going to return while they were still living. Different things they write. I have some of them scriptures here, but with time having moved on the way it has, I think we've been skipping over some things, and it's good. But I'm just saying that some more of that in my life will serve me well. That I'm pretty convinced that Christ may return before, while I'm still living. I'm saying more of that thinking will do us well as fathers and mothers in the home and as families and as a brotherhood. They lived in constant expectation that Christ would return in their lifetime. Thinking that Christ returned, it could have been any time. And I pray that God would, in the very core of our thinking and reasoning, bring a change, a new expectation that includes a reality of what we have facing us. That God would put an urgency in every heart to prepare. I believe we're entering into the most difficult days in human history. For Jesus says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as will not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be." And this is out of Matthew 24, verse 21. And this is Jesus' words. And according to those words, we have a God that will carry us through. But may we take it to heart. I have more here about the Holocaust and Black Death Plague and some of that, but I think we'll just skip some of that. I think we'll just close here. We're on towards closing. This is not the time to be at ease in Zion. This is not the time to be living in pleasure and luxury. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. This is a time to repent and turn to Christ and walk in His power. This is a time we should be living in victory, living an overcoming life in all areas. May we commit to being ready for the Lord's return at whatever hour He may come. Christ wants a bride that is ready and waiting, not one that is caught asleep. May we be among those that upon the Lord's return hear it said unto us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, this is Jesus' words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." That is my prayer, that all of us will hear those words. Again, the word watch. Jesus says in Luke 21, verse 36, "Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass." So that's an interesting teaching that Jesus gives, that we may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Two things that I think Christ warns the church about over and over, and that's why He wants us to watch. One is, it's easy for us to be ignorant of the times we're in, And number two, I think things will all of a sudden happen quicker than we think. It will be more sudden. So the ready soul is diligent, the ready soul is vigilant, and the ready soul is prayerful. And may we be all of those with God's help. Again, the signs of the times, I trust that somehow Christ can be glorified. And I would like to just end by reading some of these scriptures. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is a promise among many that we have. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. My dearly beloved, I trust and pray that God will build faith with these words, faith and strength in each of our lives. The Lord's blessings to each of you.